I find this day to be one of dissonances, of clashes. I find it to be a day which is jarring. This is a day which begins with one set of emotions and quickly moves into another. We began outside on this beautiful spring day in a procession, a parade, waving palm branches and shouting, "Hosanna," praising God with joy. In fact, that whole opening of the liturgy has joy. And I don't know about you, but I have that temptation to stay there. That's a place I like to be. That place where we praise Jesus as King, where we sing in procession, where we praise God with shouts of Hosanna. I'd stay there. But then we come into the church, and very quickly everything changes. Those shouts of Hosanna have hardly subsided when we hear the words from the prophet Isaiah, "I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting." Words Isaiah did not write about Jesus, but certainly words we hear reflecting Jesus, reflecting the account of his passion, of the suffering and his death in those final hours. And then just now we read that account from Matthew of the passion of Jesus, hearing of the horror of those final hours of his life. And we go from shouting Hosanna to crucify him. We shout along with that crowd of 2,000 years ago, almost as though we were there. And I don't know about you, but for me, that's a jarring experience. It's an emotional experience. I don't like doing it. I don't want to call for the death of anyone, let alone call for the crucifixion of Jesus. And yet we do. And in this tension and in these two sets of emotions, I think there is a gift to be had this day and throughout this week. And it comes in the form of an invitation. An invitation to enter into the contemplation of those mighty acts, acts which won our salvation. An invitation to walk with Jesus as he enters into that holy city of Jerusalem, to greet him with shouts of Hosanna along with the crowd. An invitation to go to the upper room for that final meal he shares with his disciples, a meal where he offers his own body and blood. A meal where he gets down on his hands and knees and washes their feet, the ultimate act of loving service. An invitation to watch with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane as he prays. An invitation to see his betrayer arrive, to witness his arrest and his trial. And then an invitation to go even to the foot of the cross, to the horror of that instrument of shameful death, that place where Jesus dies. And an invitation to go to the tomb where the dead body of Jesus is buried. In today's liturgy, and in fact the whole of this coming week, the week we call Holy Week, past, present, and future are all caught up. We don't only walk in the present, we also walk with company, in the company of those who have gone before us, walking with Jesus. And we don't walk just with the past and the present, but also the future yet to be, which is caught up in the acts of this week. And all of it is caught up and redeemed. God's purposes are accomplished. Love prevails. Sometimes folks think of Holy Week as a pilgrimage, as a journey with a holy purpose. Pilgrimages take us to holy sites. And though I don't think any of us will be going to Jerusalem this week, nonetheless, we make pilgrimage in this place where we are. This journey that we set out on, this pilgrimage, starts with where we are this day, wherever we find ourselves, whatever we bring to this moment and to this week. And then we set out, and we make this pilgrimage together, expecting that we will be changed by it. People who set out on pilgrimage, if you talk to them, will often tell you where they started and where they ended were two different places. They don't come back in exactly the same way, the same person they were when they left. And I think that is the promise of this week. But it's also true that the pilgrimage we are invited to take this week is not easy. It takes time, it takes effort, and it requires we face the stark reality of our human condition, and that we face that corporately, but also individually. For in walking with Jesus this week, we're called to honesty, to come face to face with some of the worst parts of the human condition, to come face to face with weakness, self-conceit, betrayal, hatred, and violence. It is not a pretty picture. It's not easy to look at and to embrace those as part of the human condition. And yet, this week impels us to face that difficult reality, to come to terms with that honest truth of who, as humans, we are. But there's good news in this. We don't stop there. For the good news is that Jesus gathers all of these things, all these worst impulses of human behavior, and takes them unto himself, takes them with him to the cross where they die in his death. And in his death, we are set free of those human impulses, and we are set free to love as Jesus loves, to forgive our enemies, to refuse to live by violence, and to serve others no matter the cost. So this week, this Holy Week, presents us with a stark reality and also an unimaginable promise. The reality of our sinfulness and the evil of this world, and that promise that through the death and resurrection of Jesus comes God's saving power, where love triumphs over evil. And so I invite you to make this journey, to set out this day on this pilgrimage and to travel through the week. And to know you do that not alone, but in company with those of us gathered here and with followers of Jesus around the globe. I invite you to make this journey, though it will require effort, effort of time and of energy. I invite you to make it, though it will ask you for emotional honesty and for openness. And I invite you to make it knowing that there's a promise that doing so, transformation is possible, that we will be changed by the experience of this week. And so may we journey with those of ages past and those yet to come after us, walking with Jesus this week. If we do, life will never be the same. If we do, we will make that journey from death to eternal life. I find this is a week where it can be hard to express all that is contained in it, certainly for me as a preacher, and I think poetry can be so helpful to us. So I want to close with the words of a poet named Edith Williams. She was an English poet. We don't seem to know much about her. Sadly, sort of the big thing in her bio says she was the brother of the English author Charles Williams, a very famous author. But Edith Williams wrote a poem which is still well known to this day and has been set to music, and I will close with that poem. Jesus so lowly, child of the earth, christen me holy, bring me new birth. Jesus so lonely, weary and sad, teach me that only love maketh glad. Jesus so broken, silent and pale, be this the token, love will not fail. Jesus, victorious, mighty and free, teach me how glorious death is to be. Amen.